This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng. On the Breakfast Grill today is PTPTN Chairman Wan Saiful Wan Jun. PTPTN, or the National Higher Education Fund Corporation, was established under the National Higher Education Fund Corporation Act 1997 and is responsible for managing higher education loans and collecting loan repayments. There are currently almost 2 million borrowers owing 40 billion ringgit to PTPTN, and this is guaranteed by the government. And it is estimated that defaulters can push PTPTN's debt to 76 billion ringgit by 2040 if the situation is not addressed. Wan Saiful, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And today we want to get your views not only as chairman of PTPTN, but also as a private individual who's concerned about education and as a policymaker as well as an aspiring lawmaker. So let's start with the public consultation of PTPTN's independent advisory panel, which has 10 ideas on how to deal with a huge study debt. And I think a lot of these ideas aren't mutually exclusive. They're like one big idea with 10 shades of grey, right? Ranging from forgiveness to deferment to enforcement. So where do you stand as chairman on that spectrum?
Well, I think let me give you some background first. The consultation was started last week. But that is actually the second round of the public consultation. We started a full-blown consultation process in December, and we have met with many, many different stakeholder groups, from accountants, bankers, academics, professionals, university students, borrowers, many of them. So in the first round, between December to March, we collected various different ideas, and they were scattered everywhere. What we did was to document them in one large document, and we have 10 big ideas on how to arrange a new repayment mechanism. And what we're doing now is presenting those 10 big ideas to the public in a more structured way so that people can have an informed debate about the problem that we face at PTPTN. So now is the second phase of that public consultation. Hopefully it's the final phase. And to be honest with you, at the moment, my sole focus is to make sure that the model that PTPTN is operating on is a sustainable one. I don't have a firm opinion on which way to take, because we really need to depend on public feedback on this. But I do think that we need to make sure that repayment we will be able to improve repayment. We will be able to make sure that our investments are more profitable, and we can make sure as well that the borrowers are not burdened more by the new repayment mechanism that we introduce.
Okay, that's very interesting, because sustainable can mean so many things. And funding is, of course, a big issue. And according to one study that was done by World Bank, IMF and UNESCO, among others, and this was highlighted in the Education Blueprint, Malaysia doesn't get as much performance bang as the public spending buck, right? And Malaysia is actually behind countries like Thailand, Philippines, Turkey, Syria, Algeria, which spend less than us and get more out of it than us. So how do we fund such a thing as studies, as education and learning, bearing in mind the total number of students requiring PTPTN loans is currently at almost 200,000, and yeah, this is expected to grow even further?
Yeah, every year, there's a number of students that we fund every year. But the question is now is on a much bigger topic, is about the quality of education that we have and the return on investment that we make as a country.
That's right.
So I think this is where the more holistic view is needed. And I think at the ministry level, that's exactly what my colleagues at the ministry is doing.
So that's interesting, because what you're suggesting is that, are you suggesting that the PTPTN loans that are dispersed are not interested in quality?
Well, we are. This is why what I'm saying is we need to be a bit more holistic when we look at things. Many people, when they examine a particular issue, they look at things in a compartmentalized way. So you look at PTPTN loans and you see, okay, PTPTN loan, how do we make sure borrowers are not burdened by the responsibility to pay back? And that has been the sole focus, without looking at the issue of quality, without looking at the issue of sustainability, without looking at the issue of how do we make sure that future manpower needs of the country are fulfilled as well. But most people don't realize that if we fail to manage the debt burden faced by PTPTN properly, every 7,000 ringgit that is not collected by us from borrowers today will result in one new applicant being rejected next year. So there's an almost direct correlation there between us collecting the money today and us making sure that the country continues to have graduates to fulfill the demands in the job market. So this is why I think the examination has to be more holistic. At the ministry level, there's a big review happening at the moment. I don't want to preempt the announcements that the minister will make. There are several committees that have been set up. And I think the examination or the study that we're doing at a government level is a more holistic one than what has been done before.
So I'm just wondering whether you're going to change the terms that are being given out to borrowers going forward, because you have a problem here when you borrow at 5% from financial institutions and you charge the borrowers 1%. According to you, this is causing a 1.7 billion ringgit shortfall a year, 13.7 billion ringgit to date. This doesn't seem like a good deal.
Yeah, well, tell me about that. But unfortunately, that is what we inherited from the past, and that is what we're trying to correct now. So,
so are the terms going to be changed?
I would like to see new terms being imposed on new borrowers, but again, it will depend on government decision. So let me lay down some key figures here. We have debt. In the principal that we have is about 40 billion ringgit. That's a debt that we owe. Interest is about 13 billion ringgit. So total liability is about 53 billion ringgit. That's huge. You know, if you compare that to the national fiasco that we have in 1MDB.
Almost the same, right?
not almost the same. We're bigger.
You're bigger,
so,
yes.
So I don't know whether I should be proud or I should be sad by the fact that I'm a worse problem than 1MDB. But at the same time, we have this big responsibility to provide funding, to provide loans for 180,000 to 200,000 students every year who depend on us to go to higher education institutions. From that number, about 50% of them go to public universities. And from that number, 60% are from the bottom 40%, 35% are from the middle 40%. So 95% of them are from families earning less than 8,000 ringgit. So these are people who really need to have funding. And this is why I think we need to solve that problem, you know, once and for all, so that the legacy that we leave after this is one that can ensure sustainability of the funding program.
And it sounds like you're leaning to more of a social objective in giving out these loans to the underprivileged households. Also, among your 10 ideas is the fact that students who are earning more than 4,000 ringgit a month or who have got a first-class honours degree, which is a reflection of their earnings ability, would be able to repay these loans. And therefore, are you leaning towards a certain degree of forgiveness as far as some of these borrowers are concerned? And for future borrowers, it would be a sort of subsidy, is it, to poor households?
Let's tackle that one by one, because there are several different issues that you raised there. One is the issue that there is the fact that we borrow at 5% and we lend at 1%. That, to me, is a really baffling model to have for any business, you know. You borrow...
Well, it's a socialist model, isn't it? Because this is like a very cheap subsidy.
Well, this is the problem. We inherited a model that I think it'll be unfair to the socialists to blame it on them, because I think even, you know, some sane socialists would not introduce a model like this. This is a model...
They give it out for free, don't they?
That's a different topic as well, because free education is actually one of the agenda that the government or the Pakatan Harapan actually discussed before the election as well. But borrowing at 5%, lending at 1% is simply an unsustainable model, you know. I must admit, when I first stepped into the office, I found it really weird.
Okay, for the moment, let's play around with this idea, right? Is it really unsustainable if you get an allocation from the national budget, which is about 300 billion ringgit a year, for example?
Well, that's the thing. We borrow at 5%, we lend at 1%. We don't get any government grants. So if the model is borrowed 5, lend 1 with a substantial government grant, then that's understandable. But when you have to borrow from the financial market, from financial institutions, it doesn't really make sense. And then the baffling thing to me is, when I step into the office, people were asking me, how come you have debt? People who left that model for us to inherit started asking, you know, how are you going to manage this? I don't know. You have been handling this, and this is what we receive from you. But we need to fix this. At the same time, I don't want to fix it in such a way that we borrow at 5, we lend at 6 or 7. That makes us a commercial bank. It's no longer an entity with a social aim. If you think about it, I don't know if we can use a term, but this is not simply an enterprise. It's more of a social enterprise. So the social aim has to be there. You talk about the debt forgiveness just now. This is an issue that has been raised to us several times. But we need to be fair to people who have been paying, because some of them are coming back to us and telling us that if you forgive the debt of those who have been so recalcitrant in paying, then what rewards do we get as people who have been faithfully paying? You know, where is the fairness in that? Why are you rewarding those who refuse to pay but punishing us who have paid in the past? So achieving some sort of balance here is really crucial, I think. This is where, you know, I keep saying that the model is a very odd one to have. What I'm aiming to do is the consultation is focus solely on repayment mechanism. But we have a whole raft of other ideas that we will submit to the ministry on how to turn it into something more sustainable in the future. I cannot announce it now. The aim is to announce it at the end of June, early July.
We're speaking to One Side for One John, PTPTN chairman, and coming back from the break, we will talk about how PTPTN can contribute to the Malaysia Education Blueprint, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning, One Saiful One John, chairman of PTPTN, is on the Breakfast Grill. And One Saiful, I want to relate PTPTN to the Malaysian Education Blueprint, and you have quoted this as well. And of the blueprint, the ex-PM Najib said that education is a major contributor to the development of our social and economic capital, is a key driver of economic growth. And the then Deputy Prime Minister Muhyiddin also said that this government is committed to transforming Malaysia's education system over the next 1.5 decades and to make it more holistic. So you were also a special advisor to the Education Ministry before you resigned. Is the blueprint still relevant now, and how does PTPTN sit into all this to achieve some of its objectives?
Yeah, the blueprint is very much still in place at the moment until something new is announced. At the moment, the document is still there, and that's still one of the main reference documents that we have. As far as the PTPTN is concerned, we use the projections available in the blueprint to do our own plans moving forward. So, for example, at the moment, we are giving loans to 180,000 students every year. The projection in the blueprint is that number will rise up to about 250,000 per year going into higher education institutions. And that means we need to be prepared to make sure that we have enough money to lend to them. So we use all that. And the blueprint also talks about improving the quality of education. One of the things that we are really concerned about is the quality of courses that students who borrow from us take in the higher education institutions. So we're looking into that as well. But we need to do it in a very cautious way. We need to be really careful at this because there are many stakeholders involved. You know, as we touch on the issue, say, for example, on the quality of education, there is already a body tasked with reviewing the quality of courses offered by universities and colleges. So we should not be a second quality check. We should respect the decisions that they make, but we need to work with the various different government agencies responsible for that. So the blueprint is still very much in place, and we still use that as a reference point until something new is announced.
Okay, so that sounds like you just want to approve whatever the policies the ministry has set in terms of education? Because when you talk about quality, you know, the PISA rankings, I don't know whether you have any views on how PTPTN can contribute to this. Malaysia has dropped off the list of 70 ranked countries for 2015-2016 as far as math, science and reading is concerned.
Yeah, but that's more at the school level. So we focus more on higher education. So unfortunately or fortunately, we are dealing with people who are the products of the basic education system. And I think as a financial institution, I really don't want to get involved too much in the issue of quality of education per se, because I need to focus on the financial sustainability of things. I do have opinion on quality, on how to improve them, but I think that's more conversation that I should have internally rather than publicly. Unfortunately, going to government now means that I'm not as free as before. You know, you really think that once you're in the policy-making space, you can comment about everything. That's not really the case.
Well, fortunately, unfortunately, you are a public figure, and we also want to know your personal thoughts as well. I mean, you were a founding member of IDEAS, a think tank which believes in a liberal free market. Is this something you believe in for student loans?
Well, let's put it this way. At the moment, I think the government is still trying to figure out what is the ultimate direction that we're going to take. If you look at the regulatory burden faced by businesses in the country, some say it's improving, some say it's increasing and not in a good way. So regulatory burden is really something that we need to worry about, because if you regulate too much, there will be a negative impact on the future growth economically for the country. In terms of education, we need to work to make sure that the quality of education in the country improves overall. We need to work with various different stakeholders. We do need some element of regulation to make sure that the quality is monitored properly, and there'll be some sanctions if, you know, if there are cheatings or you know, the bogus colleges, the abuse of the system and so on. But we can't regulate too much, because that will kill entrepreneurship. So this is why I keep saying we need to look at things holistically, and that's what we're trying to do.
And do you believe that the past government, and we're not in the, following the trend of just scolding the past government, right? But this is relevant. Do you think that the past government has transferred the too much of the burden of education to the private sector, because private education is so expensive now, which creates a problem of its own for PTPTN as well?
Well, actually, if you look at the numbers that we have now, 50% of our borrowers go to public universities, another 50% go to private institutions. So it's quite a fair mix in terms of the borrowers that we have. But in terms of the burden of responsibility, I think it really needs to be a shared one. You know, public institutions have their roles to play. Private institutions also have their roles to play. I really hope that we can see a growth of more private institutions providing affordable education in the country. If you remember, you know, a year and a half ago, I haven't been to the studio for quite some time. You have even moved place now. You know, a year and a half ago and before that, I've been coming to BFM talking about the need for us to provide private education, but at affordable cost. This, I think, is not quite on the agenda yet at the moment, because we're so busy fixing the problems that we inherited. But I hope one day it can come back on the table.
And what can you add to that as a previous founding member of IDEAS? Is it to increase the supply of private education institutions, which would in itself raise quality issues?
Well, let's be clear. The existence of private institutions alone is not a driver of quality. The driver of quality is competition. So this is what we need to have, and we need to have a regulatory environment that encourages competition and makes sure that there is competition in the marketplace. So if we can gather our thoughts around the idea that competition in the marketplace, competition among providers of education is a good thing, then I think we will be on the right step forward.
And that's very interesting, because if you raise this idea of competition, you're a deputy chairman of a strategy and policy bureau with Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, which believes in according Bumiputera rights, not surprisingly, Is being in Bersatu consistent with this idea of competition and other free market ideas?
Well, I think being in any political party is consistent with whatever ideas that you want to promote. The irony would be for someone who believes in the market economy to join a socialist party, then that would be ironic. But other political parties in Malaysia...
But the idea of competition doesn't really, especially in education, right, does not really sit well with special privileges, does it?
Well, let's be clear here. In terms of special privileges, it is about providing equal access and making sure that people can compete on an equal footing. If the field is not level, then that needs to be corrected. And it needs to be corrected with the ultimate aim still in mind. And, you know, if you take the easy way out of not going into issues or places where there are hard choices that need to be made, then you're not really tackling the real problem at its core. And I think we need to do that.
So just to digress a bit and asking you this as in your capacity as Deputy Chairman of PPBM, what do you feel about the proposed Bumiputera quota on the matriculation program? What are your feelings about this?
This is digressing quite a lot, but I'm enjoying this.
Just a bit.
the Bumiputera quota is something... Let me take one step back in order to answer this. When if we are in the opposition, then we can talk about anything under the sun. When we are in government, then there are priorities that we need to get right. If we work on an issue that is not a priority today, maybe it'll become a priority in 4 or 5 years' time, but we do it now, then we have our priorities wrong because people are not talking about that issue. And now let me go into the issue of Bumiputera quota. Now, I fully understand that, you know, for us talking here in the middle of the Klang Valley, we, you know, quite like the idea of debating about whether or not we want to continue Bumiputera privileges. But at the same time, the vast majority of people in this country are not talking about that. You know, they are saying, let's retain that, focus on other things first. This is why as soon as someone raises the issue of let's renegotiate the Bumiputera privileges, it becomes a really contentious issue because it's not the priority at the moment and no one should prioritise that at the moment, I think. There are many other bigger issues that we need to talk about. And when you go into contentious areas like that in a rather irrational way, very emotional way, without preparing the public for the debate, you get the responses that you get today.
Well, but I'm asking you about whether such policy sits in well with this idea of competition that you've just raised, right? Otherwise, the message is quite contradictory.
Yeah, but no, it's not. I think in order to have a healthy competition, we need to have a level playing field. You go outside of the Klang Valley, you will immediately see that the field is not level. So we need to fix that problem first. You know, I keep saying to colleagues in government that we must make sure when we introduce a certain set of policies, we tackle the things that people are demanding first. If we do things that people are not discussing about, people are not debating, people are not requesting, then you know we will never be able to make the public happy.
We are speaking to PTPTN Chairman Wan Sai Fu Wan Jun, and we'll continue the conversation after the news. In fact, we will read out and ask a lot of the questions that are coming in, so keep them coming in. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Wan Sai Fu Wan Jun, Chairman of PTPT, and we are discussing how to solve the problem of the huge loan, about 40 billion ringgit, that currently is being owed by borrowers and previously students. And we have a lot of questions coming in from Richard Low, and he says that one way to deal with defaulters is to ban defaulters' children from getting loans in the future until the loans are fully repaid. And there are also other similar comments on the retributive way of dealing with this kind of defaulters, including banning the defaulters from traveling overseas.
Yeah. So what we have done from December to March was to meet with various different peoples, as I was explaining earlier. And we have compiled all those ideas into 10 big themes. And we are now presenting them in the consultation paper. But the way we structured the consultation paper is so that people have information first before they make comments. So if you go to our website, pptn.gov.my, and you click on the link to the consultation, what you will see is the first segment is about data, facts and figures. Second segment is a collection of ideas that we receive from others. They are not our ideas. They are not our proposals. They are proposals received from others. And on the third segment is where we ask questions. What do you think about the above? In those ideas, in the 10 big ideas that we receive, some of them are about stricter enforcement measures. And, you know, the idea about banning defaulters' children from receiving loan is actually one of the things that we have received in the past. So we are presenting it to the public. It's quite harsh, I must say. But at the same time, I can understand why some people are proposing it. There are people who say driving license, renewing driving license, that should be restricted as well. You know, don't allow them to renew their insurance and then various different things. So these are harsh measures. But if you read the consultation paper properly, and I can read it for you here, idea number 6 is about stricter enforcement measures targeted at hardcore defaulters, never paid and long overdue. So there's a specific target group that we're saying here. Those who actually have money but don't want to pay and they haven't paid for such a long time. So yes, I take note about the various different suggestions and I think we're compiling them. What I would ask, what's the name of the guy just now? Richard, I think.
Richard Lowe. Trevor Tai also talked about
my suggestion to all of them is visit our website and fill in the segment where you can give your ideas. Because if you make comments on Twitter, on Facebook, yes, I mean, we can have fun on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, they can criticize me till kingdom come. But the ideas will not be captured.
When are you going to make your decision on this?
The consultation will close on the 13th of June. And I'm hoping to be able to submit some recommendation to the minister by the end of June. And so then it will be up to the cabinet to
decide. It's not that long a wait. It's in about 2 weeks' time, we'll know the outcome of what you've decided.
That's true. And that is why it's really important for those having fun on Twitter and Facebook now to quickly move to the website as well.
From Anwar Roslan, he says that PTPTN should not become a business entity. Government entity should be helping the rakyat, not milking them.
Yeah. Well, if you go by the current figures, I think definitely we're not milking the rakyat at all. You know, there's 53 billion ringgit of liabilities that we have to pay because of the subsidies being given out. So, it is a social venture that is creating a lot of trouble for the country as a whole. And people need to understand this. This debt, you know, 53 billion ringgit of total liability that we have, and is something that we need to pay. How does government pay their debts? By taxing people, by taking money from the public, and by various other measures. The government itself does not make money. So,
the government can tax the richer people. You know, the people who buy 50 Birkin bags, right?
Yeah.
that may be a good source of tax
yes,
revenue.
Yes, we can confiscate those bags. But that's exactly my point. The source of revenue for government is ultimately tax. You know, so if we don't want to pay too much tax, then we need to work on this problem that we have now today.
And from Rusihan Anwar Zaihan, a little bit of a criticism here. He said that recently you said that you were surprised to know that most graduate salaries put them into the B40 category. This reflects that your ideas and thinking is out of touch with reality. And I suppose that this also relates to that salary deduction, which is kind of a dicey area, right, for graduates.
Well, let's tackle that issue. Before this, I think nobody has been able to provide an actual figure of what's the percentage of graduates who earn a lower level of salary. When I came into office, what I did was to conduct a study on the distribution of borrowers that we have. And from the study, what we found was 80% of our borrowers actually graduate into the B40 category. This is a sad situation. This is really something that we need to fix because 80% of them earn below 4,000 ringgit. You know, it's a lower level salary. And this is why I think the surprising thing for me is it's that high. You know, you would expect people going into universities would be earning more, not graduate. You know, when they attend the convocation, you don't expect them to go up, pick up a scroll with a certificate to certify you joining the B40 category as well.
That's right.
You know, so you expect them to earn more. But this is also why we need to do more studies. What I'm going to do now, we don't have this data yet. And data is really scattered in PTPTN and various different government agencies. What I would like to do is to do a study. Why is it that people are not paying? 19% of our borrowers who are supposed to pay now are not paying. That is about 360,000 borrowers. I don't think they're not paying simply because they don't want to pay. I'm really convinced and I'm confident that many of them are not paying because they cannot afford to pay. Now, we need to establish that as a fact first, and then we need to find ways to help them so that we don't burden them even more. And I think this is why, you know, that holistic solution is really necessary.
And there's this other WhatsApp here that links education to mega infrastructure projects. And we were talking about this earlier, right? Whether you can take allocations from the budget, because education is kind of soft infrastructure, and yet it doesn't get a lot of airtime within government circles, because we talk about funding the ECRL, funding the HSR, funding Bandar Malaysia, but where is that big funding that's going towards education?
Oh, education is huge in terms of funding. You know, if you look at the budget received by the Ministry of Education, that's almost 60 billion ringgit. And if you look at the debt that we have, that's like 53 billion ringgit. So in total, I think funding for education is really given a top priority by this government. And that, to be fair, you know, that has been the case of previous administrations as well. Maybe it's not so much hard physical investment that we see. But as you rightly pointed out, it is a soft infrastructure and the priority is still the same.
Wan Saiful, Wan Jan, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to June 13 where you make your decision about the PTP and PTPTN borrowers, not only the current ones, but also the policy for future borrowers of PTPTN for the sake of our education in our nation. Thank you very much for joining us. And that was Wan Saiful, Wan Jan, Chairman of PTPTN on this morning's Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.